Good morning. Can you hear me? Is that nice? Turn me down a little bit, Zach. God's blessings to you. We decorated everything for this morning, so glad you could be here. Just teasing you, of course. This is our Christmas in Christ Chapel weekend. Really wonderful part of the Gustavus family, our extended family, participating from the live stream viewing to alums who come back, who this was a part of their Gustavus experience, and parents who come and get to taste the Gustavus experience a little bit. We gather intentionally this morning to, during our time, even in the midst of so much celebration, to continue to center ourselves and begin this day. This is our rhythm of starting each week in this moment. Of course, you know this because you're a part of this place, but we're really fortunate to have the kind of rhythm where every single day we do this pause. We gather in this space to take a break and center ourselves again on what it means to be children of God. And I think it's so poignant in this Advent season as we think of, the advent of our Christ, our God coming in the flesh, and what it might be for us even to embody the presence of Christ for each other. The Holy Sacraments together are God's gift to us. And as we walk by that baptismal font, we're reminded that we have been marked with the cross of Christ and claimed by God and beloved. And as we gather, as we will this morning, around this table for Holy Communion, we are reminded that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. That we have this gift in Christ, this salvation that is eternal, and not just a tomorrow eternal, but a today eternal. So no matter what we're walking through, be it the darkest moment of your life, the scariest things you've ever experienced, or a wonderful time where you're seeing things clearly and you're feeling like you've got it all together, wherever we are in this life of ours, which many, many times can be messy, God meets us right there to accompany us, to love us, and to give us true life. So welcome. As we gather for communion, we will gather and have communion by intinction, which means you will receive the wafer in this case, and we'll dip it into the chalice. There is a gluten-free option, as well as a non-alcoholic option within the chalice. Part of being on a college campus like this is every opportunity is a learning moment. And we try to give our students, not only the 350 plus that are a part of Christmas in Christ Chapel, but the many, many others who have a chance to lead worship and experience what it's like to be a part of the worshiping community. I'm really proud of Lucio Gonzalez, one of our students, who will be your preacher this morning, sharing the word. And he has been a part of our preaching intern program this fall. We have soon-to-be Pastor Caitlin Jensen, very soon, who's been our intern. She's awaiting college. She is this close to having her own congregation. And so she will be assisting us as assisting minister. Of course, Dr. Chad Winterfeld, who's our musician and the artistic director of Christmas in Christ Chapel, and our cantor and an all-around great person. So we hope you are blessed this morning. We know that Christ is present, and we're grateful for God's blessings in our lives. I invite you now to please stand as we turn our hearts to God, as we begin with our confession and forgiveness liturgy.
Are not as they ought to be. Let us pause to affirm what is broken in our world and to confirm our need for God's grace and peace in this world. Most merciful God, even in the midst of celebration, we recognize the ways we cause or suffer brokenness. In your grace, forgive us and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of compassion, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the gifts of wisdom and justice. Make us new this day. Amen. By God's grace, we receive mercy in our times of need. The good news is that our sins are forgiven, our wounds are healed. May we continue to pray for one another, care for those who suffer, and seek common ground for a common good, so that all may have life in its fullness. Amen. I invite you to remain standing as we sing "The King Shall Come," which is hymn number 260. Hymn number 260. grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We'll now sing in the body of Christ, which is in our bulletins. Chapter 64. I switch numbers around all the time, so you're going to have to deal with me today. Verses 1 through 9. Isaiah writes, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would shake before you. As fire kindles the brushwood and the fire makes water boil, make your name known to your adversaries, and let the nations tremble before you. When you did awesome things that we could not have expected, you came down, and the mountains quaked in your presence. From ages past to near has never heard, no eye has seen any God but you, intervening for those who wait for you. Oh, that you would find us doing right, that you would be mindful of you, that we would be mindful of you in our ways. You are angry because we are sinful. We sin for so long. How can we be saved? All of us became unclean and spoiled. Even our good deeds are polluted. We have all withered like leaves, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. No one calls upon your name. There is no one who clings to you. For you hide your face from us and delivered us into the hands of our sin. Yet you are our mother and father, Yahweh. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. Don't let your anger go beyond measure, O God. Don't remember our sins forever, for we are all your people." holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as you are able to welcome the gospel.
Jesus said, "But in those days, after that time of distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will lose its brightness. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the promised one coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then the angels will be sent to gather the chosen from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. Take the fig tree as a parable. As soon as its twigs grow supple and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happen, know that the promised one is near. In the same way, when you see in these things happen, the promised one is near, right at the door. The truth is, before this generation has passed away, but my words will not pass away. But as for the day or hour, nobody knows it. Neither the angels of heaven, nor the only begotten, no one but Abba God. Be constantly on the watch. Stay awake. You do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like people traveling abroad. They leave their home and put the workers in charge, each with a certain task. And those who watch at the front gate are ordered to stay on the alert. So stay alert. You do not know when the owner of the house is coming, whether at dusk, at midnight, when the cock crows, or at early dawn. Do not let the owner come suddenly and catch you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all. Stay alert. The good news given for you.
Thanks
be to God. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Thank you all for coming to today's worshiping service. Today's gospel text resonates with us as we approach the first Sunday of the Advent season. For those unfamiliar with the Advent season, it is observed by many Christians as a time of waiting and preparation for the celebration of birth at Jesus at Christmas. It is a glorious time for many to bask in all of the holiday's pleasures and comfort that this season has to offer. As we approach the Advent season and the rest of the holiday season, including Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, let us consider the similarities between them. When we think about each of the holidays, we are often touched with feelings of positivity, feelings that grant us a sense of joy. Many of us are reminded of pleasure when good food fills us until our stomachs burst. Many of us are reminded of comfort when we are surrounded by family and friends gathering together and sharing laughter. Many of us are reminded of gratitude as we gather around on Christmas and share heartfelt gifts that people have provided for each other. Or maybe someone just got a $25 gift card from Walmart and called it a day. No matter what memory we reminisce on, we are reminded of that overwhelming spirit that surrounds us in this time. It's almost as if these emotions are normal during the holiday period. After all, the types of feelings that everyone experiences during the holidays these times should be passed on to everybody, right? Well, the truth is, not really. While it may seem that most of us are living in comfort, The truth is, some of us are currently experiencing hardships and are going through tough times. I'm more than certain that everybody here is aware of that. We often hear about the families of others suffering and experiencing hardships from ranging from the loss of a job to the loss of a loved one. We hear about these losses in the news, and it is disheartening to see how gravely some people have been affected by such tragedies. In southern Texas, over 200,000 people had their home damaged or destroyed as a result of Hurricane Harvey on September 3rd, 2017. In the Florida Keys, approximately 25% of the homes in the surrounding area were destroyed in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma following September 16th, 2017. In Puerto Rico, where Hurricane Maria struck, to this day, coastal regions of the country are without power, and many still worrying where their next meal will come from. To some, these statistics may seem like just that, only statistics. But to others, it's more than just a statistic. It is the absence of another being's life in their lives, and it is a tragedy that will be carried with them throughout theirs. These tragedies do not only affect those who were directly struck by the disasters, it affects those who knew them, their families, their friends, and their loved ones. The tragedies impact those affected by these disasters in a deeply emotional way. During the holidays, while many of us feel a sense of joy, some of us may feel a sense of sadness. While many of us stuff ourselves with food to our heart's desires, some of us might resort to rationing, or even worse, go to bed with our stomachs empty. While many of us exchange plentiful gifts with loved ones, some of us are left with what little we have in order to survive. While many of us are surrounded by loved ones and bask in their comforting presence, some of us may not have that same bonding experience, and at times face crippling loneliness during the holidays. While many of us are looking toward a hopeful and optimistic future, some of us are facing a tougher and crueler reality. But how can this happen? How can the suffering of others be tolerated by society? Well, let's take a look back at the text, to the passage's opening phrase. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its lights. Here Jesus is describing his inevitable return, and how grand his entrance will be, something that no imposter will be able to fake. It's important to focus on how the world will look when he returns, notably the sun being darkened and the suppression of the moon's lights. He's foreshadowing the suffering that burdens God's people before Christ's return. He acknowledges that suffering is something that is bound to occur both now and in the future. But this isn't new to him. Throughout various scriptures, suffering was seen as something that was expected to happen among all peoples, as if it were the norm. In fact, just before today's reference text, in the Gospel of Mark verses 7 through 8, Jesus states, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains." Like this text, there are other parts of the Bible that revolve around the theme of suffering, whether it's about one specific person, like the book of Job, or entire groups of peoples, like the Israelites, who wandered the desert for 40 years. One theme is present in each of these stories: suffering. What's important to recognize in this story is the hope that Christ reminds towards us. He says, "Sibling will betray sibling to death, and a parent to their children. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." While it is true that suffering is bound to occur, and it may seem that hope is lost because our light is darkened, Jesus will return and lift our suffering. However, it seems that for the time now, suffering's end has not yet arrived, since suffering extends outside the time frame of the Bible. Throughout history, we've seen that there has not been a single being in existence that has ever lived the perfect life, or has at least lived a life in which suffering was absent. While we all go through our own individual lives, having our own individual experiences, everybody will go through suffering in some way, shape, or form. Maybe some can accept the belief that suffering is simply a way of life, and that that kind of suffering that we see today is simply inevitable. However, the problem with this viewpoint is that it only feeds the problem. What it does is tolerate ongoing suffering accepted by the masses as a part of life. Instead of trying to find a solution, we have accepted, or at least willingly, turned a blind eye towards suffering. That chronic suffering is a part of life and can't be fixed, at least not overnight. While this may condition our minds towards tolerance, the issue still remains. We need to find the solution, or at least talk about finding the solution for those of us who are suffering during the Advent season. We must use our reason and find the root causes of suffering to awaken and fully see the bigger picture of hardship. We can start painting the bigger picture by looking at our own individual actions and see what we have done as citizens, as Christians, with our time here on earth spent so far. Well, we can identify one major cause of suffering that lingers around with us during the holidays: individual desires. Look at what the Advent season has become. What was once one of the most honoring and humbling of holidays, meant as a time for gratitude and appreciation, has evolved into a contest to see who has the newest fashion with the deepest of pockets. Now more than ever, we must stop and think in order for us to break this newfound tradition of spending. Now, before going any further, it should be made clear what's being asked of us. We should not forcibly do away with the tradition of giving gifts to one another. Gifts, especially ones thought up from the heart, are perhaps among the most cherished of memories that one can provide for the holidays. But what we need to do, what we should be doing, is distancing ourselves from this mentality that focuses on what we want, and instead focus on what we can do to make the lives of others better, to have more quality in their quality of life. What we must do is understand the obligation that is expected from us as Christians, the role of God, the role that God left for us, both for this season and for the future. Let's hear the news that is also being asked of us. Christ asks that we be on guard and keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. These words serve as a ring to our ears, for this is a cry that was meant to prevent us from falling into the comfort, into our own traditional cycle. What we have done is let down our guard on the world and begun to focus solely instead on ourselves. While not inherently selfish and not inherently wrong, at some point we may have gone too far when someone decided that Christmas is a time for spending, or that the day after Thanksgiving deserves to be a shopping frenzy. We have found ourselves asleep, ignoring our fellow brothers and sisters, those who have fallen victim to unemployment, illness, natural disasters, or other horrific tragedies. Maybe what we've come to expect has less to do with what we have on the outside, but rather more instead with what we carry in our own minds and in our hearts. Our culture has fallen so far out of line with what Christmas and the holiday season used to be: a time of love, light, hope, and peace. Instead of making the Advent season a time of solely expensive gift-giving, perhaps it would be best to focus on the original aspects of Christmas: loving one another. Similarly, instead of promoting a system that rewards the selfish, we should promote a system that emphasizes and recognizes communal behavior for the common good. This type of system is important to recognize because it shows what we are capable of once people put aside individual desires and instead focus on making the world a better place for others around them. In fact, we've already begun to make progress in that direction. Just look at how much progress we have made in recent history. At the end of 2009, unemployment was standing at a whopping 10%. At the end of 2017, that number is just over 4%. The homeless population has seen a drop off for the first time since 2009, by 3% this year in major cities like Los Angeles, New York, and Seattle. The response rate from the international community to the hurricanes was so coordinated and so effective that they managed to get these communities back on their feet to a stabilized Texas and Florida. And despite the government's slow reaction towards Puerto Rico's Hurricane Maria, private organizations and charities have been able to raise over $10 million for the people and provide temporary shelter and clothing. When people are awake and remain vigilant, we can ease the burdens of others and provide stability to those desperate for peace. But there is more to the future that we must look ahead for. It is more than just rebuilding infrastructure. It is more than simply sharing with our neighbors. It is more than just the actions, but the intentions behind the action that matters. Let's go back to the words of Christ. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. It is important now more than ever that all of us listen to the closing promise of Jesus. He says that time will pass, but his words will not. These words spread the message within the Advent text for us to be watchful. That urgency is what we must now fulfill within our lives. What we must do now is remain watchful for Christ's return and do what is expected from us, passing his love to others. His love must not only spread from Christian to Christian or from one religion to another, but from one human being to other human beings. This time is approaching when Christ comes. And when Christ comes, and when that time comes, all of us will be working and living as one unified body. Until then, until that time comes, it is important to remember to not get caught in the trap of comfort and acceptance, but to be on guard for God's return. Once we stay awake, unnecessary spending will be zoned out. Once we stay awake, people will begin to focus less on themselves and reach out to their neighbors. And once we stay awake, we can eradicate the selfish greed that resides within us. And maybe one day we can restore the true Christmas spirit. That day will not be today. That day will not be tomorrow. That day may not actually be any day in the foreseeable future, but that must not discourage us. This will be slow and steady progress, but it will still be progress. We are called by Christ's words in the season of Advent to remain awake and stay alert to not only Christ's comings, but to the opportunities surrounding his coming. The opportunities to help our neighbors and extend Christ's love as he did for us. As Christ said to his followers at the end of his message, I say again to everyone at the end of mine, stay woke.
Our hymn for the day will be hymn number 438, My Lord, What a Morning, 438. Got the numbers right that time.
Thank you.
me. Let us pray. God, bless the Advent season that begins on this day. Prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of Jesus Christ. In preoccupied and chaotic times, grant us moments for reflection. Stir us to contemplate how we can embody your light in this world. Allow us to envision the ways in which we need the hope and renewal of Christmas within our lives and our society. Accept our thanks for the time of preparation and fortification as we look forward to the joy of Christmas Day. God of love, hear our prayer. God, thank you for the musical offerings taken place on campus this weekend. Thank you for all the musicians and performers who bring their gifts to celebrate and honor the coming of Christ. Thank you for the directors, instructors, and planners who have dedicated themselves to leading our students. Thank you for all the technicians and support staff who make these celebrations possible. Bless all who gather here to worship and prepare their spirits for Christmas. God of love, hear our prayer. God, watch over the health and well-being of our students during these busy and stressful times. Help them to care for themselves and for each other. Comfort those who suffer from anxiety, depression, and mental illness. Bless the counselors, tutors, and professors who support our learning. Strengthen and enliven us so that we may show all that we have learned this semester. God of love, hear our prayer. God, we pray for the places in our world marred by chaos and violence. We pray for the over 300 lives lost in a terrorist attack in Egypt this week. We pray for the citizens of Yemen as they suffer from military blockades and deprivation. Help us all to work towards peace in our world. Shelter the world's refugees and migrants and all who are homeless or displaced. Guide us in helping those in need. For these and other struggles, we pray for your guidance. God of love, hear our prayer. God, watch over all those we name aloud and within our hearts. Trusting in your mercy, we ask you to strengthen and bless us for this coming week. We ask all this in your name. Amen. The peace of God be with you always. Let us share God's peace with one another.
I invite you to please stand. Life-giving God, may you bless our gifts and let them go forth from us to benefit all your children with wisdom, compassion, imagination. Amen. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times, in countless places, and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people, outcasts, betrayers, the power hungry, the fragile, lonely, lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time. And that whenever the bread was broken and the wine was poured, wherever the story was told around the table, he would be there. Today we remember the story, as it's been told 1,000 times over. We eat the bread, we drink the wine, and we affirm that we all belong at this table. And that Jesus is here. So if we come to the table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. If we come to the table broken, let this bread and wine be our grace. If we come to the table betrayed, let this bread and wine be our wholeness. If we come to the table in despair, let this bread and wine be our life. For this is a holy table, with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts. Thanks be to God. Jesus ate with his friends. He took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread. We share one cup. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and you are the people of God. All are welcome. We're a small community here, and so we're going to have one station, and our ushers will direct you, but we'll basically just come and do a little sermon. So God bless you. You may be seated. Will you please stand? Gracious God, generous Mother of Life, you supply us with good things. May this bread and wine be the nourishment we seek, and may it transform us into a new creation. Our closing hymn is hymn number 244. Thank you. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.